Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this day, this Palm Sunday, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the beginning of Holy Week. And just to remind everyone that we will be having a Good Friday service here on Friday in the chapel beginning at 12 noon. So please come and be a part of that and hear the Good Friday narrative so that we can have that narrative resonating in our hearts as we show up next Sunday. Next Sunday, of course, is Easter Sunday, and we will be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So please mark both of those marked down on your calendar as we continue to progress into Holy Week. Also, as I stated last Sunday, we are not having a Maundy Thursday service, but I will be participating in a Maundy Thursday service at the Neshaminy Warwick Church at 7 in the evening. If anyone wants to accompany me there, I do have room in my car, so that will be on Maundy Thursday. You can see here we have our tulips that will be available to take to those who are not able to be in worship with us or sick and shut-ins. They have not yet bloomed and opened up, but they will do that, I promise. So, please come and take them so that you can bring them to those who are sick and shut-ins. Our deacons know what I'm referring to. During service today, we will be stripping the church, or draping the sanctuary, as it is often called. We do that at the end of Palm Sunday as we anticipate the event of Good Friday, but we will be doing that during the end of the service. So we will be doing that, and then we will be leaving silently. So there will be we'll do things a little differently this morning, but that's what will be going on. So we want to be a part of that. Just another announcement. I know that the month of April to me is a special month because it's my birthday. My birthday is this month, and I know other people have birthdays too. I think Angel's birthday was yesterday, wasn't it, Angel? Your birthday. Yeah, and Angel is actually, Howard told me that Angel is, her age is, no, he didn't tell me, he didn't say that, but just wanted to acknowledge birthdays, particularly for the month of April. And there are other things, of course, going on here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin and stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 28 through 40. Hear the word of God. And when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite, where upon entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever ridden and has not yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, you shall say this: the Lord has need of it." So those who were sent went away and found as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their garments on the colt, They set Jesus upon it. And as he rode along, they spread their garments on the road. As he was now drawing near at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered them, saying, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." This is the word of the Lord.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Y'all say it with me, please. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Yes. Y'all can do better than that. Say it again. Say it loudly. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Not too loud. I forget we're Presbyterians. Shouting and being loud is not our thing. We like to do things decently and in order. So we want to be a little careful this morning, but we acknowledge today is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is a time for shouting as we celebrate Jesus making his entry into Jerusalem, riding on a colt or a donkey, as foretold by the prophet Zechariah. It's interesting because we're told that no one has ever sat on the donkey that Jesus sends his disciples to go get, which, if you know anything about donkeys and horses, you know they have to be broken in before you can ride them. But apparently the donkey knows that Jesus is Lord, and so Jesus has no trouble, once the donkey is secured, riding it into Jerusalem. And that's where Jesus has set his face, we are told, way back in chapter 9. He set his face towards Jerusalem, and now he's finally made it into the holy city. Jesus and his ragtag bunch of disciples, and Jesus is riding on the donkey. The gospel narratives tell us that Jesus chooses Passover to make his grand entrance into Jerusalem. Passover, you'll remember, is the great Jewish celebration of liberty. It was the celebration of how God had liberated the Hebrew slaves from Egyptian slavery and oppression way back in the book of Exodus. And so Passover was kind of like the 4th of July and Juneteenth all rolled up together. And so not just Jesus, but Jews from all over the empire would have been streaming into Jerusalem for the great celebration of liberty. But there was just one problem, and it was a glaring problem. It was a problem everyone was aware of, everyone knew about, and the problem was that the people were currently not free. Judea was being occupied, Jerusalem was occupied, they were all living under Roman occupation, and so everyone had been waiting for a king, everyone was waiting for a savior, someone who would come one day and liberate the people from Roman oppression. So when Jesus makes his entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, as foretold by the prophet Zechariah, the people get excited. They get excited and they catch the hint of what Jesus is saying, what he is signifying by coming into the city riding on the donkey, and they start shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Y'all say it with me one more time. Shh. Not too loud. That's the response of some of the Pharisees who were in the crowd on that first Palm Sunday. The Pharisees often come across as the heavies in the gospel narratives. They're not always presented in the best light, but please don't think that they were in any ways bad people. Pharisees were actually very good people, very godly people. As someone said, they just worried a lot. We all know people who worry a lot. Some of us preachers, sometimes we worry a lot. And the Pharisees were worriers. They worried about how things might be perceived. They worried about how people might take certain things. They worried about the implication of things that were done and said. So when the Pharisees hear the crowd shouting about Jesus being king, they start worrying. They start being concerned. Instead of saying, "Hallelujah, blessed is the king," they want to shut it down because they start worrying. And they probably would have not worried so much had the crowd shouted, "Blessed is the prophet who comes in the name of the Lord." It may have caused them a little worry, but I don't think they would have been too alarmed. They probably wouldn't have been too concerned had the crowd said, "Blessed is the rabbi who comes in the name of the Lord." But king is a different matter. To say that Jesus is king is to say that the emperor is not. To say that Jesus is king is to say that Jesus is the one who's really in charge. He's the one who's in charge of everything. He's the one who's in charge of the whole world. To say that Jesus is king is like mixing religion and politics, and the Pharisees knew very well what the implications of that might be. They knew that none of this was going to set well with the powers that be. And so that's when they say, "Shh, Jesus, keep it down. Tell your disciples to keep it down. Tell them not to say it too loudly. Tell them not to get carried away with this king kind of thing. We don't want word to get out to the Romans. We don't know what the Romans might do. So keep it down." Truth be told, I think we are still a little uneasy today with the kingship of Jesus. I don't mean the world around us. Of course, we know that there are a lot of people who don't buy into the notion that Jesus is Lord. A lot of people in the world that don't buy into the notion that Jesus is king. Some people think Jesus was just a nice rabbi. Other people think that he might have been a good prophet, but there are a lot of people in the world who don't believe that Jesus is the true Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But I'm not talking about the world around us. I'm talking about many of us. I think we might be a little uneasy with the whole notion of Jesus being the King. Of course, we don't mind marching in with Jesus on Palm Sunday. We kind of like that. We've gotten used to that. We don't mind waving our palm branches and throwing our cloaks before the Lord's path. We don't even mind shouting what the people shouted on that first Palm Sunday. We don't mind shouting, "Blessed is the King," as long as we mean by that that Jesus is just king up in heaven somewhere. I mean, that's always been convenient to have Jesus to be king in heaven and not down here. Many of the world's rulers and leaders and shakers and movers have never had any problem with Jesus being king up in heaven, as long as everybody understands who's in charge down here. But the moment it's suggested that Jesus is king here, then it starts causing all kinds of problems, because we don't want Jesus to have anything substantive to say about how we run things down here. We don't want Jesus to in any way challenge any of our commitments, any of our idols, any of our economic commitments, our social commitments, our political commitments. So we say, shh. Be quiet. Don't get too loud. Don't say that too loudly. It might stir things up. It might cause some problems. I remember reading somewhere when the Russians first invaded Ukraine, many of the clergy of the Russian Orthodox Church supported the invasion. They were all for it. But there was one priest who didn't think it was an action that accorded with the lordship of Jesus Christ, and so he was against it, and he was quite vocal in his being against it, and his superiors told him, shh, be quiet. Don't say anything. You're going to lose your job, or even worse, so be quiet. We've always had a little problem with asserting the kingship and the lordship of Jesus in the world. A couple of weeks ago was the anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King, and I was reading again about him being jailed, and a number of clergy sent him a letter, and the letter that they said was pretty much what the Pharisees were saying. They were saying, shh, be quiet. We agree with what you're saying, but don't say it too loudly. Be quiet. Don't stir anything up. And that's what the Pharisees are saying to Jesus. Rebuke your people. Don't let them get too loud. But Jesus says if they don't say it, then the stones around, the stones will rise up, and the stones will say it. The stones will give praise. The stones will bear witness. The stones will give testimony. Jesus, of course, is quoting Habakkuk there, the prophet Habakkuk, where Habakkuk says that that the stones themselves will rise up and attest to the corruption and the oppressive ways that the poor in the land are being oppressed. And so Jesus says that if they don't say it, the stones themselves will bear witness and give testimony that I am indeed King. I think the big problem for us is that Jesus didn't turn out to be the kind of king that people wanted. He didn't substitute the donkey for a war horse. He didn't swoop in to defeat those who were identified as the enemy. You know, I have a big list of people who I identify as the enemy, a big list of people that I want Jesus to get. But Jesus doesn't do things the way I might want him to do it. He doesn't come in and defeat the enemies. He doesn't come in and forcefully straighten out those that we've identified as evildoers and sinners. He didn't come in and usher any of us to the head of any privileged line of prosperity or health or safety. Instead, he said, this is what my kingship looks like. My kingship is all about love and humility and self-sacrifice. And when we hear that, we say what pretty much what the disciples say, or we react the way the disciples react. We're not quite sure that's the kind of king that we want. We're told that ever since Jesus turns his face towards Jerusalem to go into Jerusalem, it immediately sets up a confrontation between Jesus and the temple authorities. Which one of them are mediating the presence of God? Is it Jesus and his ragtag bunch of disciples coming into Jerusalem on a donkey? Or is it the temple authorities in Jerusalem, the people who are responsible for the maintenance of the temple? Who is mediating the presence of God? One of them is going to be found wanting. One of them is going to be judged. And of course, when Jesus enters into Jerusalem and he's arrested and put on trial and crucified, the temple authorities can say, there, took care of you, proved that you weren't who you said you were. But as Jesus makes his way towards Jerusalem, Jesus engages in a number of sayings that says that judgment is going to fall on Jerusalem. And indeed, immediately after Jesus enters into Jerusalem, immediately after he enters into the holy city, he looks over Jerusalem and he begins to weep. He weeps for the city and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish you understood the things that make for peace. If you only understood the things that make for peace, but you don't understand, and so you're going to be destroyed. And Jesus can foresee the destruction that will shortly fall on Jerusalem. I think Jesus is still weeping. I think when Jesus looks over the world, he's still weeping. I think when he sees what's going on in the Holy Land today and in parts of the Holy Land, he weeps. I think when he sees wars and the rumors of wars that go on the day, he weeps. I think when he sees the way of that many, even Christians, think that they can bring the kingdom in by force or through violence, he weeps. He weeps because we don't know the things that make for peace. We don't know the things that make for justice. We don't know the things that bring healing. But Jesus tells us that it's only if we follow him that our hope resides. It's only by following him that we can have true redemption and salvation. And so the question for us every Palm Sunday is, will we continue to follow Jesus? Will we continue to follow him on Thursday night when he is arrested? Will we continue to follow him when he is presented to the crowds on Friday morning? Will we continue to follow him when he's beaten and crucified? Will we continue to follow him then, or will we do what his disciples did and do what everyone else did? Will we scatter and run? Because that's not the kind of king that we want. It's interesting that the same crowd that today is shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," the same crowd that shouts that will on Good Friday assert, "We have no king but Caesar." And so they will reject him. They will reject the cornerstone. They'll reject the one who can truly bring the salvation that the world needs. We all know the way this story will end. It will end in part on Good Friday. Jesus will be crucified. But that's not the end of the story either. We know that God will raise him from the dead. But Jesus still tells us that his way is the way to the kingdom, is the way of the cross. It's the way of us letting go of the things that we think can bring our redemption, letting go of the things that we think can bring us salvation, letting go of all of our commitments and all the things that we hold on to because we think that those are the things that can save us, to let it go and follow him. Follow him on the path of self-giving love. That's what this Palm Sunday is all about. It's about following the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the one that many of us are not sure we want, but the one who points the way to our redemption. Someone said that Jesus is really the only sane person in the gospel narrative. Everyone else seems to be out of their mind. Sometimes I think that too, looking at the world today. Everyone seems to be out of their mind. Everyone seems to be going crazy. But Jesus is the only sane one. Because Jesus is the one who shows us the heart of God. He's the one who is showing us the way of God. He's the one that's showing us what it really means to be human. What it means to be human beings made in the image of God. And he is saying, "Follow me because I am the King. I am your King. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord."